From the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas, it's the Bombastic Blogcast for Friday, December 20th, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
There yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, the kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes, and one heck of a nice guy. And since it is Friday, let's do the Hawaiian Shirt Friday fight song. Sing it loud and sing it proud. Love this. Then again, what's not to love, right? Truly the sweetest sound this side of heaven. Let's get things officially started. Launched, if you will, and we'll do it with...
The Daily Denogram!
Yeah, words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets, and you get to make the call. Good one here, too. It says, one day your life will flash in front of your eyes. Make it worth watching. Yeah. Unless, of course, you're a politician. Make it worth suppressing.
Finally, some censorship we can get behind.
Let's move along now with the so-called educational part of this big blogcast.
Twisted History.
This is it.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
I presume.
Some cool, some not so cool. Just the same. You need to know your Twisted History.
Really?
You might be quizzed.
Yeah. I don't see that happening in the foreseeable future, so don't sweat it. Well, kids, it was on this day in 1946, It's a Wonderful Life premiered at the Globe Theater in New York to mixed reviews. Star Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed. Lionel Barrymore was in that, too. And today, it's a major classic Christmas film, which, when you think about it, pretty much invalidates the critics, doesn't it? And I love when that happens. You know, the critics didn't like Fantasia when it hit the screen back in 1940. Go figure. And it was on this day in 1957, the initial production version of the Boeing 707 made its first flight. No luggage was lost, no passengers disrupted the flight, no parts fell off the aircraft. No wonder they refer to that era as the golden age of flying.
You know, sometimes it just gets hard to smile through it when they ask you to bend down and grab your ankles.
The New York Post is one of my favorite publications. If you get the print version, the way they do it up there in New York is they print it out like a tabloid. But it's actually a newspaper. And the thing that I like about it is they have real news. Real news. They have real reporters. And this is kind of mind-numbing for me. They got this exclusive that actually hit the stands late Wednesday. And I'm just now bringing this to you. And the reason I'm doing this is because there's a very good chance you didn't hear about this, especially if most of the news you get is from mainstream media. George Stephanopoulos was repeatedly told by his executive producer not to use the word rape before going on the air to discuss Donald Trump. But he ignored the warning. A decision that cost the network $16 million and may, by the time everything's said and done, may cost Stephanopoulos his job. I don't get the idea that Stephanopoulos is really all that bright. If he can so easily, with such a choice job, getting paid so much money, if he can so easily throw caution to the wind just to satisfy his own personal hatred for an individual. But the parent company, of course, is Disney, and their capitulation last week in that defamation lawsuit by Trump against ABC News and Stephanopoulos, because he sued both. Of course, it shocked media and legal experts. They're quaking in their boots, but not so much the legal experts, but the people who are quaking in their boots are mainstream media people. But the damning revelation could help explain why Mouse House CEO Bob Iger signed off on the settlement so quickly. Now, Iger isn't the brightest bulb in the chandelier of management either. I mean, I've seen him make decisions for Disney that were just absolutely, positively catastrophic. Think about this. Iger is holding this gig as CEO of Disney second time around because, and I forgot the name of the guy who succeeded him, but he was absolutely dreadful in the job. So Iger came back to so-called rescue Disney from the damage that was done by Iger's successor. So Iger's back. I mean, can they not find anybody to competently run Disney? So anyhow, Stephanopoulos, I always refer to him as Snuffleupagus. He hosts that program This Week, which hits the screen, the small screen, every Sunday. And he uttered that, he uttered the word rape in speaking about Trump. He used the term Trump was liable for rape while discussing the civil lawsuit won by E. Jean Carroll. And this was during an interview with a Republican lawmaker, Nancy Mace. And this was back in March. Now, he should have known better than this, especially in interviewing Nancy Mace. So, a network source told the New York Post, "This Week producer said don't use the word rape before the segment started. The executive producer said it so many times." Now, I've been on television sets before, and I know how this goes. There's just a barrage of briefing before you go live on a big story, and I can just almost hear it myself. Don't use the word rape. Remember, don't use the word rape. Rape is ixnay. Do not use the word rape. George did it anyway. A second source at the show confirmed via a text message viewed by the Post that Stephanopoulos was warned not to say rape. So we got at least two sources here. Now, Disney's chances of winning the lawsuit would be damaged if Stephanopoulos ignored his producer's warning, according to the legal experts. Well, apparently that's what he did. And often when dealing with litigious subjects, the company's legal team may speak to producers ahead of time to advise on language so as to avoid lawsuits, which is customary in the media industry. However, it's unclear whether ABC's legal team had been involved before Snuffleupagus went on the air. Now, ABC News declined to comment, of course, and reps for Disney and Snuffleupagus didn't return requests for comment, naturally. But in the broadcasting business, they're swarming with lawyers. Anytime in my radio career that the station I was working for was getting ready to embark upon a new promotional contest, the program director has to sit down with the attorneys and double check the rules of the contest to make sure that there are no laws being broken. And I mean, there are so many ways litigious people can hang you on contests. I've seen it done. So Bob Iger, the big guy over at Disney, agreed to the deal late Friday, this lawsuit deal. And this was hours after Florida Judge Cecilia Altanaga rejected a request to delay the case and ordered Trump and Stephanopoulos to sit for an hours-long deposition just days before Christmas. And that was according to the New York Times. Now, the judge also demanded that Disney turn over emails and text messages sent by and to Snuffleupagus by Sunday, which could have forced the media mogul's hand if the damning text messages surfaced. Makes sense. Now, Disney's top lawyer, Horacio Gutierrez, urged Iger to settle the suit rather than risk a civil trial in front of a jury in the president-elect's home state. I mean, makes sense there, too. Iger also was worried that fighting the case would risk damaging press protections and hurt the Disney brand. Well, nobody can hurt the Disney brand more than Bob Iger. And he started that operation, decades ago already. Now, if Disney were to suffer a negative outcome in U.S. District Court in Florida, the company feared the possible repercussions of appealing to the Supreme Court given the current 6-3 right-leaning majority. You know, according to the Journal, Disney was concerned that appealing an unfavorable ruling to the Supreme Court would have increased the risk of possibly overturning New York Times versus Sullivan. And that was that landmark 1964 decision that granted the press sweeping protections against defamation lawsuits. And it was shortly after that when the media really started getting full tilt boogie aggressive against the right wing. And we started to see that in the coverage, the mainstream media coverage of the Vietnam War. Sources also told the Post that one factor playing into Iger's thinking is that he didn't want a lawsuit hanging over his company's flagship television property ahead of a possible sale, because Disney wants to get rid of ABC. Now, the deal awarded $15 million to a presidential foundation and museum for Trump and another $1 million for Trump's attorney fees. Now, as part of the settlement, Stephanopoulos, old Snuffleupagus, was forced to apologize, which made the journalist apoplectic and humiliated, according to the Post reporters. And they published an article titled Furious George. It was great. So a source said that ABC News employees are now calling Snuffleupagus Furious George behind his back. They're also wondering how the star anchor can now cover the incoming Trump administration, which is a great point. The source said, everyone seems to be asking that question except ABC brass. Well, there's nothing about ABC brass that impresses me or has in the last, decade or so. I mean, ABC, a network that will carry a show like The View. Now, the overall concept of The View, the way the late Barbara Walters envisioned it, wasn't a bad idea. It was a very good idea. Nice idea. Talk about, just have a bunch of ladies talking about current events. But it's gone way beyond that now. I mean, these women have their hatreds, and they're all extremely biased against the right and anybody conservative. I mean, you ever notice every time they bring a Republican onto the show, first of all, I don't understand why any Republican would ever appear on that show. But you notice every time that you have a Republican on the show, they're very, they treat him very negatively and aggressively so. So Trump initially filed the suit back in March, and days later, the anchor, Snuffleupagus, went on CBS, The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, another snake in the grass, and reasserted his claim that rape was an appropriate word to use based on comments made by the judge in the New York case. Snuffleupagus said, I'm not going to be cowed out of doing my job because of the threat. So Trump, of course, has denied all wrongdoing toward Carol. And it's at the point right now for me where I don't even care what the truth is in that case. I don't believe her, and I'm not sure I believe him. So the truth is lurking somewhere way deep inside that story, and I don't even give a damn anymore. I want somebody competent to run the country for a while and maybe set the stage for somebody equally as competent to succeed him. I'm tired of these lefties running the country and ruining the country. So, yeah, Trump has denied all wrongdoing toward Carol. I certainly believe him more than I would believe her. But last year, a New York court found that he was liable for sexual abuse, not rape, but sexual abuse over allegations that he abused her at a department store back in 1996 and later defamed her in his statements where he denied her allegations. Yeah, he did defame her, I guess. So should he have his hand slapped? Absolutely. Absolutely. I love Donald Trump. But in this particular case, yeah, he needs to have his hand slapped. Well, consider it slapped many times over. But what ABC and Stephanopoulos did to Donald Trump, man, that shouldn't have happened to a dog. And Snuffleupagus, I would not rule out that at some point in the not-too-distant future, that man's going to lose his job. Because if Disney wants to get rid of ABC, and I understand why, but if Disney wants to get rid of ABC, it's not going to be easy to sell that network when you've got somebody like Snuffleupagus still on the air there. I mean, is Snuffleupagus a loose cannon? No, not really. That's not how I see the man. I just see him as an idiot. And he's so eaten up with his personal hatred for Donald Trump that he's willing to jeopardize his job. And if he loses his job, there'll be other people at ABC who will lose theirs, too. Well, it is official. It became official late yesterday that Donald Trump threw his support behind this newly revised House Republican spending bill aimed at averting the government shutdown. I was kind of hoping for a government shutdown just so that we could prove once again that the world will continue to spin. But the proposal, which was dubbed the American Relief Act of 2024, significantly trims its length from the 1,547 pages to just 116, and notably excludes provisions like congressional pay raises, which had drawn earlier scrutiny. Yeah, that was in there. Now, the bill has emerged as a unifying measure among key members of the House GOP, who framed the legislation as a streamlined effort to fund essential services while steering clear of contentious spending debates. Now, the initial budget deal, that 1,547 pages, that actually met the approval of Mike Johnson and, you know, the Speaker. And a lot of people not happy with that, including, I'm going to call him President Trump and Elon Musk. So anyhow, Trump wrote on Truth Social, he said, success in Washington. Speaker Mike Johnson and the House have come to a very good deal for the American people. The newly agreed to American Relief Act of 2024 will keep the government open, fund our great farmers and others, and provide relief for those severely impacted by the devastating hurricanes. Now, Trump highlighted a provision delaying the federal debt ceiling. What that would have been was delaying the federal debt ceiling deadline to January 30th of 2027, a move that he described as vital to the America First agenda. Now, the extension is expected to avoid a potentially fraught fiscal showdown until well after the 2026 midterm elections, providing Republicans breathing room as they press forward with their legislative priorities. It's going to be interesting to see how the Doge brothers, Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy, manage to affect perhaps some changes in that area before that deadline. I think it's possible. So Trump added, he says, now we can make America great again very quickly, which is what the people gave us a mandate to accomplish. All Republicans and even the Democrats should do what is best for our country and vote yes for this bill tonight. Now, again, that was Trump writing in his Truth Social yesterday afternoon. So, let me think, was that afternoon or evening? No, that was still afternoon, Eastern time. You know, that's the standard right there, is Eastern time. But I don't know. It's certainly better than that 1,547-page long nightmare that they were serious there. Most of them up there in Washington were serious. They wanted that. And somehow, miraculously, Musk and Trump got involved in this thing, and it was obvious that if that 1,547-page monster had passed, there was going to be hell to pay. Now, the legislation faced a lot of criticism from conservatives, both in Congress and elsewhere, following its initial release Tuesday night. And I love this lady from Florida. She's amazing. Anna Paulina Luna, representative, Republican. And she expressed her dissatisfaction rather bluntly on Wednesday. And pardon the expression, but I want to say the word because I want it to have the impact that it had when she said it. She said, this is a shit sandwich. I don't know how else to say that. We're being forced into this position. And yeah, she gets the credit of redirecting this thing and getting the attention of both Donald Trump and Elon Musk, Now, Democrats weren't involved in yesterday's renegotiated deal, and they haven't approved it, according to two sources familiar with the negotiations. And they were these sources were speaking with NBC News. Now, the bill is not serious. It's laughable. Extreme MAGA Republicans are driving us to a government shutdown, said Hakeem Jeffries of New York. Now, Jeffries is a loudmouth. And, of course, he's a damn Democrat. He's really a commie. Hakeem Jeffries. Now, he had previously mentioned that any discussion about extending or eliminating the debt ceiling at this time is premature at best. So, yesterday, Trump shared with NBC News that Elon Musk's recent statements against the bipartisan compromise came after a discussion with the president-elect, indicating that both are in agreement on the matter. Now, here we go with Jamie Raskin. This is one guy who, gee whiz, I don't want to say something I'm going to have to retract later, so I'm just going to proceed by saying Representative Jamie Raskin said yesterday the Senate Democrats, the Senate Republicans, the House Democrats, the House Republicans, everybody agreed, and then it was blown up by Elon Musk, who apparently has become the fourth branch of the government, and that's just an intolerable way of proceeding under representative democracy. So the Democrats are going to try to figure out how we can salvage the public good out of the wreckage. Raskin really should be jailed because he is a left-wing radical. He's about as radical as they get. I mean, whatever name comes to mind when you mention the word left-wing radical, you know, because what's the first one that comes to mind? Usually it's Barack Obama, right? Well, Schumer, Chuck Schumer's another one. I would put Hillary Clinton in there. She claims to be a moderate Democrat, but she's not. AOC is a radical lefty. But so is this guy, Jamie Raskin. He's the worst. Now, the proposal includes a clean 3-month funding extension to keep the federal government open until March. A 2-year debt limit suspension until January 2027 to meet a Trump demand. And a $110 billion disaster relief package, which allocates $10 billion for farmers. So, I don't know. At the time this blogcast went to press, that's where things stood. And, hopefully this sent out a signal to everybody in Washington that this new administration is not going to be screwing around. Phil Collins has given an update on his health. The musician, who's now 73, spoke about the condition that left him no longer able to play the drums. And this is in a new documentary on his life, Phil Collins, Drummer First, and it was just released back on Wednesday. And Collins admitted in the on-camera interview, which was filmed back in October of 22, he said, "It's still kind of sinking in a bit." Now think about this. This is a health update given 2 years ago. And he hasn't been getting any better. Now, he says, "I spent all my life playing drums. To suddenly not be able to do that is a shock." When I saw him, when was this? About 6 months ago, in a short, very short video, he did not look good. I mean, he's 73. He looks like he's 93. So this health condition of his is serious. And he's been playing the drums since he was 5 years old, but stopped in March of 22. Among several health challenges he's faced in recent years, he has been diagnosed with drop foot. Now, this is a condition that left him with no sensation in one of his feet. And he's been using a cane to walk since 2015. This is an ongoing battle for the man, and I hate to see him going through it. He's genius. He really is. You look at the total body of work that this man has generated since the 1970s. Wow. Now, he went on to explain that over the years, the drumming has taken a toll on his hands and legs. Quoting him, he says, "If I can't do what I did as well as I did, I'd rather relax and not do anything. I understand that feeling." He says, "If I wake up one day and I can hold a pair of drumsticks, then I'll have a crack at it. But I just feel like I've used up my air miles." Now, he has a son. His name is Nick. And he followed in his dad's footsteps and took up the drums. Spoke about his dad's health in the documentary, saying that musicians, people in bands in general, had this thought that they were invincible. He says, "I think that's really what it is with my dad. It's just this kind of sense of you're a drummer. You're invincible. You do what you do. But you don't know it's going to take a toll in the long run." Now, in 07, Collins dislocated vertebrae in his neck, which left him with nerve damage to his hands. He had a big surgery on his neck in 2015 that stemmed from all those years playing drums and bad posture. And Nick says it was after the surgery that Phil began using a cane. Now, Collins, who joined the band Genesis in the 1970s, shares a variety of stories in this new documentary, which is on YouTube. According to the film's synopsis, the documentary is told from a drumming perspective, from Collins' early days behind the drums to his groundbreaking work with Genesis and his celebrated solo career, from his time with the jazz fusion group Brand X. A lot of people don't know about that stint. To composing for Disney's Tarzan. That soundtrack was amazing. To forming his own big band and ultimately passing the torch to Nick during the final Genesis and Phil Collins tours. And it's titled Phil Collins Drummer First, and it is streaming on YouTube. Over to the Comedy Corner now, and once again, we're going to send up another great Christmas classic from the Bob Rivers Twisted Christmas Collection.
Oh, the weather outside was whitening, till the dog did something frightening. He's got no other place to go. Yellow snow, yellow snow, yellow snow.
And he doesn't show signs of stopping as he sniffs around his droppings. You see him everywhere you go.
In the snow, yellow snow, yellow snow.
When he finally goes outside, he'll be frolicking round in the storm.
He'll be marking our yard with pride.
You can tell by the steam that it's warm. When the snow begins its thawing, it reveals those puppy drawings. He's a frisky little pooch Van Gogh. Yellow snow, yellow snow, yellow snow.
Come here, Yeller. Come on, boy. Good doggy. Oh, not on Frosty.
He'll be marking our yard with pride. You can tell by the steam that it's warm. Well, he's happy and his tail starts wagging. But the snowman's left side is sagging. There's a little puddle right below. Yellow snow, yellow snow.
I'm sorry, that's just funny. Make it a great weekend. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on Monday's bombastic blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And you be sure to take some time this weekend just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?